One more time, on you.
There is profit.
We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Thank you for the help we have received so far from the beginning of this conference till now. We appreciate and honor and adore you. Breathe upon this service today. Touch somebody and heal somebody. Deliver somebody, liberate somebody. Give us a testimony. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat.
On you. On you. Always my life. Again and again, on you, on you. There is profit in the worst
you, Master. We'll waste our lives again and again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 22. And in verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? In his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. We have seen secrets of perpetual impact. Part one, face your front. Part two, camp with God. Part three, choose your company. And this is part four, be your best. to last long, to be relevant on earth for long. Be your best. In this study, we shall be understanding the relationship between quality and durability. Be your best. There are some people today who they are currently, or what they are doing currently, or the potentials they are releasing currently is like 10% of what they are capable of. That preacher could have functioned with greater unction. That worshiper could have led with greater unction. But people are at various levels of what capability and potentials they can release. Normally you sit in the front row, you sit up. Any row at all. Please understand that there is a connection between excellence and sustenance. It takes things that excel to be sustained. There is a connection between quality and durability. Quality things are durable things. We all buy things. You buy shoes. You buy cloth. You buy things. That shoe may be 500 naira, but how long will it last? The other one is 50,000 or 20,000. Then you compare. Quality things are durable things. And quality people are durable people. Quality impact is durable impact. On the other hand, inferior things are momentary things. Once they are inferior, they are just momentary. They are just there for just a moment. Momentary, inferior living is momentary living. Inferior impact is momentary impact. Substandard things are transitory things. They just transit shortly. Substandard things are transitory things. Substandard impact is transitory impact. It does not last. Throughout scripture, we see the examples of men and women. The example of people who functioned in the realm of excellence, the realm of being their best. The first example I'll take is the example of Joseph. We may not have the time to read all the scripture. Genesis chapter 41 from verse 39 all the way to verse 44. We saw the encounter of Joseph with Pharaoh. And from the life of Joseph, now, summary is, Joseph, we knew Joseph, who started his life as a dreamer. From being a dreamer, he progressed to becoming a dream interpreter.
He didn't live his life stunted like that. He became a dream interpreter. Until he came to the point in Egypt where he had more understanding and wisdom in that realm than anybody else in the land. And Pharaoh was looking for someone to interpret dreams for him. He couldn't find. Until they said, there is a man who has excelled in that realm. There is a man who is notable in that realm. His capacity to do that thing and do it at his peak resulted in many things. And I want to outline them right now. Number one, Joseph's excellence guaranteed the fulfillment of his childhood dreams and visions. He had visions, he had dreams that were not fulfillable except on the platform of excellence, on the platform of his being the best. It is possible to have dreams, beloved. It is possible to have visions. But until you are the best you, visions and dreams may die unfulfilled. It is possible to have dreams. It is possible to have visions. But until you are the best of what you are the best of who you are meant to be, dreams and visions can go unfulfilled. Excellence in the capacity to dream and interpret dreams took Joseph to the fulfillment of childhood dreams and visions. Visions can never be fulfilled on the grounds of mediocrity. Visions are not fulfillable on the grounds of average existence. Visions of life and dreams of life can never be fulfilled on the grounds of anyhow existence. Not to talk of lasting an impact. That was Joseph's childhood dream. So the first thing we said is that excellence, Joseph's excellence, guaranteed the fulfillment of his childhood dreams and visions. There are people with mega dreams and mega visions, but functioning with mediocrity and average existence and anyhow existence, and nothing could come to pass. Secondly, Joseph's excellence terminated his tenure in the prison. It terminated his captivity. Joseph's excellence terminated his tenure in the prison. It terminated his captivity. When you are the best you can be, captivity terminates effortlessly. When you are the best you can be, captivity terminates effortlessly. Joseph's excellence terminated his prison tenure. It terminated his captivity. Because what brought him out of the prison was, there is a man that can interpret dreams. It brought him out. It doesn't matter where the enemy kept you. It doesn't matter where conspiracy kept you. You see, it was the conspiracy of Potiphar's wife that kept Joseph in the prison. He wasn't in the prison because he committed a crime. When he could not speak for himself, excellence spoke for him. Where he could not defend himself, excellence defended him. Where he couldn't bring himself out, excellence brought him out. Am I communicating at all? I don't know what is working against you. If you are not working against yourself through mediocrity, if you are not working against yourself through average existence, then nothing truly can work against you. If you are not working against yourself through anyhow existence, then nothing truly can work against you. Joseph's excellence terminated his prison tenure. He spoke for him when the law couldn't speak for him. He spoke for him where his voice couldn't speak for him. Thirdly, Joseph's excellence, ushered him or established him as a generational solution provider. A generational solution provider. He's been his best. Took him to a realm where he provided solutions for his generation. Beloved brothers and sisters, there are people who are generational problems. There are people who are generational questions. And there are people who are generational solution providers. Joseph's excellence took him to a realm where he provided solutions for a generation. Beloved brothers and sisters, meaning is, whatever you do, do it at your peak. Do it at your best. And then you become a generational asset. Fourthly, Joseph's excellence established him in realms of influence and affluence. Realms of influence and affluence. Joseph's excellence established him as a force to be reckoned with. A force to be reckoned with. Realms of influence and affluence. It established him in the realm of means. The realm of means that was undeniable. It established him in realms of influence. If you have excellence, you don't beg for influence. I'm going to come back to that later. If you have excellence, you don't beg for affluence. If you do the things you do at your very peak and at your very best, you don't beg for it. Joseph's excellence established him in realms of influence and affluence. Finally, Joseph's excellence produced for him lasting impact and relevance. Lasting impact. Lasting impact. Lasting impact. We are talking about perpetual relevance. We are talking about unending relevance and perpetual impact. Lasting impact and relevance. He was not a person that came suddenly and disappeared suddenly. He was a person that lasted for the long run. In Genesis chapter 50 and in verse 26. Genesis chapter 50 and in verse 26. So Joseph died being 110 years old. They embalmed him and he was put in the coffin in Egypt. He died 110, almost 120 years. That was how long his excellence lasted. Don't forget, as long as you live, quality things are durable things. Quality people are durable people. Excellence guarantees sustenance. That was Joseph. Let's look at David. What do we see in the life of David? David was the one who was anointed, talented, and so on and so forth. For a long time, it appeared like he was not noticed, but suddenly, excellence brought him out. Let's look at David. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17. The Bible said, "And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, is a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters. A comely person. And the Lord is with him." Listen to this. Three things I want to say to you about David. David had oil on his head, but excellence opened the door to the palace. David had oil on his head, but what opened the door of the palace was excellence. being his best. According to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Hear this. The anointing will break the yokes, but the excellence will open the doors. The anointing will break the yokes, but the excellence will open the doors. The anointing will break or destroy the yokes, but it is the excellence that will cause the door that the broken yoke it has afforded you. It is the anointing it is the excellence that will cause you to enter there. Why do I say so? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, David got the oil. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18, he had the excellence that opened the door. Mind you, Saul did not say, "Get me a man who has oil on the head." Hello? And that is not to underplay the role of the oil. Very important. I am sure that the oil was what made them notice that David existed. Because all this while he could play well, but nobody knew. He could play well, but nobody was aware. But the oil brought the awareness. And if the awareness came and there was no excellence, he would have remained there in the desert. Beloved brothers and sisters, the anointing will destroy the yokes, but the excellence will open the doors. Yes, you pray very, very well in tongue. That is very, very important. Back it up with practical life of quality. Combine your spirituality with quality, and then no devil can deny your opportunity. Combine your spirituality with quality, and no devil can close your destiny. Combine your spirituality with quality, and productivity is a guarantee. David had the oil on his head, but what opened the door of the palace? Excellence opened the door. Number two, and this is very important. David showed that human excellence plus divine assistance eliminates enemy resistance. Again, human excellence plus divine assistance eliminates enemy resistance. Why do I say so? This is in reference to the matter of Goliath. When David saw Goliath, and there was nobody in Israel that could pull down Goliath, David decided to give it a shot. In the description of Goliath, the Bible made it clear that there was no opening on the body of Goliath. No opening. Chest covered. Hands covered. Leg covered. Head covered with a helmet. The only opening was on a forehead. On a forehead. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 49 to 50. You can see what happened there. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Can I ask you a question? The catapult that David used to bring down Goliath, did he go to look for it? It was in his hand. What does that show you? He was a catapulter. He had trained himself as a sniper, a sharpshooter. David was not, he was not guessing. When he saw the forehead of Goliath, he wasn't guessing whether the stone would be there. He was used to that realm. You know, some of us in the village in those days, you have some young guys who will shoot and bring a bird down from the sky. How many of you know of those kind of people? In fact, they will just shoot. The bird is flying like this. They will shoot in front of the bird, and the bird will collide with a stone. They are so sharp. I mean, they are like wizards. They will shoot birds on the tree, bring it down. That was the kind of person that David was. The forehead to him was an opening. And when God saw David's expertise in shooting, he decided to assist the stone extra. I mean, because that was not bullet, that was stone. For a stone to crack this frontal bone, crack it. Stone. That was not a high velocity rifle. It was stone. It cracked the forehead, sank and went into the frontal lobe of the brain. Instead of him falling backward, God made angels to push him to fall forward. That is, human excellence will provoke divine assistance and delete enemy resistance. Any day, anytime. We are going to come to that at the end of this message this morning. There are people asking for the help of God, and they are asking for that help on the grounds of mediocrity. Asking for the help of God in mediocrity. And God said, I don't release help to mediocres. I don't assist average people. Two can't work together except they be agreed. I am an excellent God. I give out my very best. If you want my assistance, be your best. Someone say amen. And finally, David's excellence gave rise to instant prominence in Israel. A hitherto unknown man, unknown David, instant prominence. They didn't know him before. He suddenly became a song. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, all right. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and in verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and in verse 7. And the women answered one another, and they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands and David 10,000. Instant prominence in Israel. Someone here today, God is taking you somewhere. You believe that? Say aloud, amen. You believe that? Say aloud, amen. When you have quality, you don't struggle for popularity. Say that again. When you have quality, you don't struggle for popularity. If you are a quality person, you will be a popular person without asking for it. If you have quality, you don't struggle for notoriety. You don't beg for it. You don't look for it, and no need to look for it. That was David. Let's look at the third example, and that is the example of Daniel. And of course, you know that David, like we read the other day, ended strong. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Daniel chapter 6, and in verse 1 to 4, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the presidents might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4, the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him
What do we see in Daniel? First, Daniel overcame prejudice by the power of excellence. He overcame prejudice. He overcame conspiracy by the power of excellence. He was a stranger that had more influence in Babylon than homeborn people by the power of excellence. There are people who judge you before they know what you can do. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? There are people who conclude on you, on how they think you will end, before you even started to walk. They concluded on some of us like that. It is your excellence that will beat their prejudice. Secondly, Daniel effortlessly assumed rulership and authority by the power of excellence. He assumed rulership, effortlessly assumed leadership, let's say, leadership and authority by the power of excellence. We already read Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. And then now you see Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. He said, there is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, he made him the head, the leader of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. For as much as what? An excellent spirit was found in him. As much as an excellence will put you in charge any day. For as much as an excellent spirit was found in him, he was put in charge. He was an effortless leader by virtue of excellence. If you know what to do, you don't beg for the crowd to come. You don't beg for who will follow. Excellence provokes followership. Excellence provokes followership. And it establishes leadership. And finally, number three, Daniel experienced perpetual relevance, unending influence by the power of excellence. Perpetual relevance, unending influence. Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. And Daniel continued, even unto the first year of King Cyrus, from the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, to the reign of Belshazzar, to the reign of Darius, to the reign of Cyrus, Daniel continued. I announce to someone here today, you shall continue. Can you say a louder amen? Can you say amen like a believer? Say after me, say, in the name of Jesus, I shall face my front. I shall camp with God. I shall choose my company. And I shall be my best. Say it louder. Say, in the name of Jesus, I shall face my front. I shall camp with God. I shall choose my company. I shall be my best. The worst you can do to yourself is to be your worst. Is to fail to be your best. That was Daniel. And let's finally look at Paul the Apostle. And then we'll begin to draw the curtain this morning. Paul the Apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 26. See what Paul said. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly,
So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, in case when I preach to others, I become a castaway. Can we look at the Living Bible version? NLT, or the Living Bible itself? Or the Message Bible? In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourself many things that will keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon. Now, there is a translation that talks about anybody who strives for excellence. Strives for excellence. Take note of the following. First, Paul was the late comer that became the frontliner through the power of excellence, among other things. Late comer that became frontliner through the power of excellence, among other things. We just read the passage. Peter was there before Paul. James was there before Paul. John was there before Paul. But Paul overtook all by excellence. Listen to me. You can't be the best and lag behind. It's not possible to be the best and lag behind. When excellence comes, the issue of position fades away. The issue of who came first fades away. You cannot be the best and lag behind. You can't be the best and lag behind. You can't be the best and lag behind. You can't be the best and lag behind. When excellence comes. You see, when athletes run in a race, they don't ask them how old are you before they give the prize to the oldest person. Now, somebody may be 35 years, another one may be 25 years. Somebody may be 21, another may be 18 or 17. It is not the oldest that wins the prize, but the best that wins the prize. Am I communicating at all? You cannot be the best and lag behind. You can't be the best and lag behind. To be the best is to take the lead. To be the best is to take the lead. Very, very important. Number two, Paul generated massive, monumental, undeniable impact by the power of excellence. Paul registered massive, monumental, undeniable impact by the power of excellence. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Say, for I am now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that shall love his appearing. I have done everything I'm meant to do. I have fulfilled all my assignment. I've done everything accurately. I am now waiting. Hallelujah. Massive impact. Monumental impact. Finally, Paul the Apostle outlived his travails by the power of excellence. The power. When we say excellence, we are talking about being his best. He outlived his travails. He outlived them. By the power of excellence. Let me give you 10 facts about excellence that will constitute what you might call the results of excellence. Are you ready for this? And speaking directly on being your best, number one, to be your best, is to beat the odds. The odds. To be your best is to beat the odds. That is, whatever odds are against you, whatever odds are against you. Wilma Rudolph was born with lobar pneumonia and born with polio congenitally, crippled in a family of 10 or 11 people. When it was time to go to the dining table, every of the children outran her to the dining table. She literally crawled to go to the dining table. With double braces, metal brace from the waist. You know that kind of people that walk like this. That was how she was born. Walked like that till about the age 11 or 12. Went to the hospital one day. And the doctor said, the doctor that was treating her, gave her some things to do. This girl from the Baptist church will force her leg that was, and also talipes equinovirus, leg that is open like this. She will force it to the ground like that to make it work. She will force the leg like this to make it work instead of like this. And 1 year later, the doctor said, what have you been doing? He said, doctor, I'm very sorry. The doctor said, no, don't be sorry. Whatever you are doing is working. Long story made short. Young lady went, I believe it was in 1964 Olympics, that she became the first woman in history. First of all, she said she wants to play basketball. And they said, basketball with what leg? And then she began to play the basketball. And then her coach in the basketball field saw that there was another gift she had more than the basketball, and that is the speed with which she was moving. Took her into the track and field to begin to run. Long story made short, in 1964 Olympics, I think it was in Athens in Greece, she was the first woman in history to win three Olympic medals, three at once. That's her there. World record holding Olympic champion and international sports icon, track and field, following her successes, 1956 and 1960 Olympic Games. 100 meters dash, one. 200 meters, another one. And then 4x4 relay race, like an anchor woman, another one. This was somebody born crippled. Born crippled. Running faster than those who were born with legs. Nothing is against you if you are not against yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Nothing is against you. Nothing can be against you. No devil can be against you. No witch can be against you. No wizard can be against you if you are not against yourself. Somebody shout, I believe it. Take your seat. To be your best is to beat the odds. You don't know your father. You don't know your mother. You are born out of wedlock. That means nothing. That means nothing. I was talking to a young girl the other day, about 13 or 14 years old, and then has no relationship with father and so on, those kind of terrible settings. And I told her, I said, there are people born without father. There are people who don't know their father at all. There are people who don't even have a father. And yet they have succeeded in life. You can succeed. I spoke sense to her head. Her eyes opened that it is possible. There were odds against Joseph, uprooted from his father's house at a young age, became a slave, a full-blooded slave. Yet, nothing could be against him because he wasn't against himself. Odds against Daniel, odds against David. Father and mother rejected him. They were looking for somebody to anoint. They didn't call him. Yet, to be your best is to beat the odds. The meaning of that is excellence answers resistance. If you want resistance to bow or to break, you break it by excellence. To be your best is to beat the odds. Number two, to be your best is to outlast your foes. You outlast your foes. You outlast those who consider themselves your enemies. To be your best, you outlast your so-called competitors. I heard from God's servant Bishop Oyedepo. He says, those who strive for excellence don't strive with people. You have nobody to strive with. You have nobody to call a competitor. You are just facing your front. To be your best is to outlast your foes. Daniel outlasted those who threw him into the lion's den. Joseph outlasted his brethren in relevance. To be your best is to outlast your foes. Number three, to be your best is to stand out in the crowd. Is to stand out in the crowd. Where the crowd is gathered, you stand out. That was how Joseph stood out among the prisoners. That was how Daniel stood out in Babylon. That was how Queen Esther stood out. You can't be lost in the crowd if you give out your best. You can't be lost in the crowd. To be your best in ministry, be your best in industry, be your best in what you do, is to stand out in the crowd. Number four, we said that already. To be your best is to secure the help of God. You secure the help of God. You secure the help of God by being your best. The meaning of that is human excellence attracts divine assistance. We saw that in the life of David. Because God, according to scripture, is excellent in working. And according to scripture, two cannot work together except they be agreed. God is an excellent God, and you want God's assistance and support, you must function in excellence. How many of you know that excellence, the excellence of creation, is the basis of space travel? Oh yes, the scientists know that there is a symmetry in the earth, that if a rocket is fired at a certain angle and a certain speed, on so and so day, it must land on the moon without bending. It's so precise, so accurate, so strategic. It must land on the Mars. It must land on Jupiter without fail. Because the Creator, and that has silenced many, 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 many atheists. That you think a randomization process, where nobody created anything, can produce such a symmetry in creation? Answer is no. If you think that is possible, give a baboon the keyboard to play and let him produce music by pressing the keys at random. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? The excellence of creation is the reason why we have not been burnt and roasted, because the sun is positioned at such an angle where the earth will not burn to ashes or freeze. No. If the sun was a bit closer, everything will be burnt to ashes. If it goes upward a bit, everything will be frozen to death. God positioned it and it couldn't shift. That is the excellence of God we are talking. So every time, that was why the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Why? Excellence. Daniel, greatly beloved. Angels were always around him. Angels were always around him. Heaven was always around him. David, just the presence of God always with him. There is a level of anointing you will experience when you give more excellence. A level of divine presence. Excellence. To be your best is to secure the help of God. Number five, is anybody getting anything out of here at all? Number five, to be your best is to see the way. To see the way. To see the way. Excellence attracts providence. That is the meaning. It attracts providence. It guarantees opportunities. To be your best is to see the way. Where there seemed to be no way, just a way just opens. David was able to locate the forehead of Goliath because he was excellent minded. The way into the court of Saul was open. The palace of Saul was open for David at the frequency of excellence. To be your best is to see the way. You will see the way. There is somebody here, you will see the way. That amen can be better than that. That amen can be more excellent than that. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Say after me, I will face my front. I will camp with God. I will man as driver. We go to London and several of these places, we take a couple of white people to drive us. Just drive us around. Nobody will know your color in Engedi. In Israel, you can show the clip a little, the miracle segment. People came from over 80 something countries, from Europe, from America, from everywhere, throwing their crutches, eyes seen, deaf ears open. We're testing them. None said this is a black boy. What boy is this? There were some old enough to bump you twice. Yes. America, Argentina, all over the world they came in that place.
Please, if you have the clip, ICT, you can show it to us. I'm getting. If not for the lockdown, I'm meant to be there this year again. Maybe we'll be preaching via Zoom. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Nobody knows your tribe. Nobody cares about your age or even about whether you are a man or a woman. All those things matter in territories of mediocrity. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. To be your best is to beat their reason. To be your best is to beat their reason. That's excellence cures prejudice. Number 9. To be your best is to attract the means. Attract the means. They made Daniel a great man. Wealth, all manner. Joseph was practically put in charge. To be your best is to attract the means. Excellence is effortless way to abundance. Are you ready for number 10? To be your best is to stand for long and stand with the best. To be your best, you stand for long and you stand with the best. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand. He's not crawling. He's not crawling. He's not on the floor. He shall stand. Hallelujah. Seest thou a man who knows what he's doing with his life? He shall stand. He's not on the floor. He's not grounded. He's on his feet. And not just standing, but standing with the best. Standing with the best. Standing with kings. Somebody say amen. If I have stopped here today, I have over preached, but let me give you some responsibilities. Every preaching, no matter how good, that does not leave you with what to do, is an irresponsible preaching. What is the way of being your best? And when I say, and when you are your best, you are likely to be the best. Because most people are not their best. Did you hear what I just said? When you are your best, you are likely to be the best. That is, if you are a lawyer and you are your best in your law practice, you are likely to become the best lawyer. That is, you are the best. Everything in law, every potential that is a potential that is possible, and you release it out of yourself, you are likely to be the best. Not just your best, but the best. What is the way of being your best, which is the same as being the best? Number 1, know your assignment. What are you to do with your life? What can you call your assignment? He said the man must be diligent in his business, his own assignment. His own assignment, not another person's, his own. What is your assignment? What is your assignment? What is your assignment? What is your assignment? Number 2, know your equipment. Know your equipment. Talking about your giftings, talking about your graces and potentials. Know it. Know them. What is it that has been wired into your life that is meant to cause you to be your best and eventually be the best? What is it?
And human potential at times unveils itself in layers. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him. And that is what will bring him before great men. So there's a connection between this and Proverbs 22, 27, 29. You're going to stand before kings. Your potential will take you there. So you must know what has been wired into you. Know your equipment, your giftings, your graces, your potentials. Number three, develop yourself. Most people's potentials are at their rudimentary level. Rudimentary. Rudimentary. You have a healing gift that is rudimentary. A prophetic gift that is kindergarten. A musical gift that is just toddling. It's toddling. Most people, by the time they can preach and they have invitations and so on and so forth, they don't have any personal development of life. It's all about where to be invited and reading something to go and preach. Personally being developed doesn't exist. Some of the things that came out in this conference were products of personal eating. It wasn't message preparation. Personal feeding. Some ministers in the realm of worship and music never reached their peak, where they could be and what they could be. They have CDs for sale. They have invitations here and there. With graces, giftings, talents, latent. One of the things I've understood is that the largest room in the world is the room for improvement. The room for improvement is elastic. The room for development is endless. You just keep on stretching. And I'll come to that later. Toward the end of Paul's life, look at what Paul was saying. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12. He said, Antichrist have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Capos, when thou comest, bring with me, and the books, but especially the parchments, my diaries, my message jottings, my message diaries. This guy was in prison, all right? But he was still studying, very studious. He wasn't preaching, he wasn't planning to go and preach anywhere. He was in prison. But he was very aggressively loading himself with stuff. That's how life is. Daniel chapter 9 verse 2. Now, the books refers to the books. The parchments refers to his jottings. Daniel said in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. The number of years, understood by books, understood. I excelled by study. I excelled by research. I excelled by study. I excelled by research. Develop yourself. Don't abandon your life. To abandon your life is to be abandoned in life. To abandon yourself is to be abandoned in life. Don't. When you are not updated, you become outdated. There are many wondering why they have been left behind in life. Because they abandoned themselves and suddenly got left behind in life. Am I speaking to anybody at all? Develop yourself. Number four. Embrace discipline. Embrace discipline. That is, be serious with life. Be serious with what you do. Be serious with life. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. We read it already. Anybody who is striving for the mastery is temperate, is disciplined. Discipline yourself means do what is required. Everything required to get at what is desired. Discipline yourself means be hard on yourself so that life can be easy on you. Be hard on yourself so that life can be easy on you. Discipline yourself. Be serious with life. Because like we have always said, nothing is glorious until someone is serious. Nothing becomes glorious until someone decides to be serious. Have a plague of indiscipline. So many people cannot be who they are meant to be. And the best form of supervision is self-supervision. You are a general overseer. Nobody is supervising you. So you do what you want. You wake up when you want. You sleep when you want. Come to office when you want. You are the GO. Your assignment will soon tell you who is supervising you. Do you understand that? You are a pastor, under pastor. You are in a location by yourself, all by yourself. Nobody is there to watch you. And then you just do as you want. Just elastic time of whiling away. Embrace discipline. The meaning of that is be serious with life. Number five, hold nothing back. In the journey of being your best, you hold nothing back means you give out all you have got. You give out all you have got. Paul the apostle said in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 20, he said, "And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing. But I have showed you and I have taught you publicly. You hold nothing back. You push it all out. Because there is a time coming where you won't be able to give anything. Give out all you have got. Number six. Stretch yourself. Stretch. Stretch yourself. Jesus said, "I have a baptism to be baptized. How am I constrained until it is accomplished?" There is a healthy pressure that leads to impact. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul the apostle said, "I press." 3:14. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Before you can arrive at the precious, you must release some pressure. Pressure. "I press, I press, I press, I press, I press, I press." You stretch yourself. You stretch yourself to reach the mark. You stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. You won't break. You know what make military people and soldiers is stretch. Stretch. Rugged, brutal stretch. Those who join soldier newly, at times you will be walking 24 hours. 24 hours. Night till morning. They are jobbing you from night till morning. And then you are expected to go to the classroom in the daytime, in the morning, and you and be awake. And they say to you in the class, "Feel free to sleep with your eyes open." That is, they stretch you until what you never believe your body can do, it begins to achieve it. You are moving days with sleep of 2 or 3 hours and you are normal. Yes. One young man who, a member of this church, an American citizen, he joined the American army. So when I saw him and I said, "So how was it?" He said, "Sir, they will push you to a point where when you are doing the things they ask you to do, it is your will doing it. Your body has to follow." He said, you are wondering whether, how are you able to be doing what you are doing now? There are many of us who have just left ourselves. Just left ourselves like that. Without getting much out of life. Lift your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I will stretch myself. I shall stretch myself. And I shall reach the mark. I shall stretch myself and I shall reach the mark. Say it louder. I shall stretch myself and I shall reach the mark. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say louder amen. Some time ago, I worked on, somebody brought a system of a gym kind of system. Just gave me say, exercise with this gym system. And then it has a place where you when I'm not too choked, I just go into the place there. And it has a place where you lie down to push something like this. And there was a measure, like some kg it was fixed to. That was easy for that I was pushing. One day I came and then I attempted to move it and I realized that it was almost impossible. So I told myself, I said, is this not this thing I have been pushing all this while? So I grit my teeth and did it. So I asked the person who is attending to the person, I said, what happened? He said, oh, so sorry. They did some repairs or some things here, so they moved some things in there. I said, I see. So I went to check the weight and realized it has been increased about 5 times. Now, there is nothing that would have made me put it 5 times by myself if I knew. But since I didn't know, I pushed it without knowing. Then I realized that the unachieved is always the unattempted. It's always, I mean, there is no way I could have. I said, what? They shifted this thing one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They took it all the way up. And there is so much that many of us can achieve with our lives if we are ready. So much we can achieve with our lives. So much we can achieve with our lives if you are ready to stretch yourself. Stretch. If you are ready to stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. Put pressure. Number 7. Give out your very best. Give your very best to every task at hand. Give out your very best. Give your very best to every task at hand. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. It says, whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy hand, with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Give out your very best. That is, refuse to live as a shadow. They gave you 2 minutes. Maximize the time. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. Very best. Confront every opportunity with importunity. Confront every opportunity with intensity, 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 intensity. Every opportunity with intensity. Confront every opportunity with intensity. Finally, make your days to count so that your life can count. Make your days to count so that your life can count. Psalm 90 verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Make your days count. Don't let the days just pass. Make your days count. Hold each day responsible for its deliveries. Let each day release to you their content. Make your days count. Make your days count so your life may count. Make your days count so your destiny may count. Make your days count. Because if the days don't count, the weeks won't count. The months won't count, and the years will not count, and the whole of life cannot count. Because it is when the days count that the weeks can count, and the months can count, and then the years can count, and then life as a whole can count. Make the days to count by releasing your best. Beloved brothers and sisters, if I say beyond this at this particular time, it means I want to overpreach. First of all, face your front. Second, camp with God. Third, choose your friends. And fourth, be your best. Can you confirm that we have not been wasting our time? First of all, what do you do? Face your front. Number two, camp with God. Number three, choose your company. Number four, finally, one more time. What do you do? Number one, face your front. Number two, camp with God. Number three, choose your company. And number four, be your best. Stand up on your feet if you receive something. Be your best. 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 Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice and give the King the praise. Give the King the honor. Give the King the adoration. Give him the worship. Give him the supremacy, the dominion, the rule, the sovereignty. Father, we honor you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you. All right, that's the picture there. The program I told you about. It was Feast of Tabernacles in Israel. I'm sorry, many of you have watched it before.
Speaker for tonight, Dr. Paul Enenche from Nigeria, Abuja. He's here together with his wife, Becky, Dr. Becky.
On that stage, I'm sure you can count the number of people of our
community. They are overseeing other 50 churches in the city of Abuja. And they have worldwide more than 100 churches. They are reaching millions through their TV satellite stations.
Can you forward
and
to the prayer session?
And revival meetings.
Life. I ask for forgiveness of sins. I am a sinner. Save me from the power of sin. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
It's my great privilege and a great.
It was to show the testimonies, the miracles, the case, but I'm sure it took them by surprise. But I'm sure you got the point I made. You got the point I made, right? We're going to pray today. And also, I just felt like saying something about the last point I made. That weight I lived, that I attempted, I didn't know. Otherwise, I won't attempt it.
So I don't want you to go and say, I heard something today. Let me go and carry how many hundred kg or something at once, and then you just don't do that. Don't do that. All that is very, very necessary is a very balanced life. And like they say in some quarters, push yourself. You push yourself safely. Push, but safely. Push safely. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You have to put pressure in everything you do, but you push yourself safely. By the time you overpush and you do the things that we're talking about, I mean, then at a time comes when you are not able to do anything at all because you decided to overdrive yourself. And don't say, okay, from now on, I'm going to just face exercise alone. No time for Bible study. No. On that treadmill, tonguing is on. Worship is on. Everything is into everything. Everything is inside everything. Everything is connected. Bible reading is on. Listening of to scripture is on. Everything is working together. Praise the Lord. May we come to the point where God will grant us the wisdom to know how to allocate our time to everything that is needed for our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift up your hands and your voice and let's appreciate God. Let's honor God. Worship Him. Open your mouth and praise Him. Honor Him. Adore Him. Magnify Him. Appreciate the King of Kings. Appreciate the Lord of Lords. The I Am that I Am. The Rose of Sharon. The Lily of the Valley. Jehovah Mekadesh. Jehovah Keren Yesh. Leperete Sida Malahasodigala. Mester Lifredima Zanaya. Leperete Sata Labarabara. Eta Lama Yaba Yaba Yalala. Le Parana Manama Yalala Hashalala. Laya ya 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 Leperete sina managa ya la hasta. Mesta loma ya ga ya la hasta. Yes, Lord. Leperata sete lama ya la hasta. Le ya 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 ya. Leperete sida ya na la hasta. Leperete sito lama na ya la hasta. Leperete sina ya la hasta. Go ahead and speak to God. Go ahead and speak to God. Appreciate Him. 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 Mashada ya 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 ya. Le ya 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 ya. Leperete sika la. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and say, Father,
Father,
I refuse to end my journey, without being my best.
Without being my best.
Father,
today
I receive
the grace
and the discipline
to
be my best
in my generation.
I receive the grace.
I receive
the discipline
to
be my best.
I receive
it now. Open your mouth and pray. Pray, pray.
Go ahead, open your mouth, pray.
Let us Let parana. Some years ago, of a man who was an expert keyboardist, organist, and one day in his 60s, he came to his living room or parlor and saw somebody sitting on the keyboard, on the organ, playing the kind of tunes and melody he had never heard before. And he watched and was almost moved to tears at the anointing and the atmosphere. And he went to ask the man, "Who are you?" And the summary of the answer is, "I came to reveal to you the man you are meant to be." And things disappeared. More like a celestial visitor. People had been clapping for him already, that he was such a star. But as far as heaven was concerned, he was here, from here, and he was meant to be on this line. I give you 10 minutes. Father, help me not to underleave. And any other thing you want to express to God, any other thing you want to express to God, any other thing you want to express to God, 10 solid minutes of prayer. Father, grace to unveil, unleash your help in my generation. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive the grace. I receive the grace to unleash my potentials, to unleash your help, your mercy on my generation. I receive the grace. I receive the grace. Open your mouth and speak to God. Open your mouth and pray. Pray, pray. Don't watch others pray. Pray yourself.
You're good to me. Oh, Lord, you're good.
Any other thing you would like to express to God, tell him. Help, Lord. Grace, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Thank you.
Go ahead. 3 more minutes. Lord, I receive your help. I cannot underplay my role. I will not overstep my bounds. I receive your grace. I receive your help. I receive your help. I receive your grace to live well, to do it well. Thank you.
of Jesus. Be upstanding. All that God needs to do is to take you from level to level until you reach the peak of the same thing you are doing. Joseph first managed a house, then he managed an institution, a prison, then he managed a nation. Ever just moving. Moses tended flock. The Bible says he led. So he was a leader over flock. Then he led a nation. The same line. And I want you to understand, irrespective of what you do with your life, you can reach the peak of it. Joseph was not the president of Egypt, but he was a leader in Egypt. And he had undeniable impact in Egypt. Hello? I saw a book many years ago titled How to Be Number One from Number Two. That is how to... David was not the president of Israel before he tore down Goliath and generated an undeniable, and he didn't become president till 13 years after that. So when we are talking about these realms of things, it's not a matter of position as much as function, as much as impact, as much as what is done. So lift your two hands where you are. Father, take me to the peak of the mark of what I am doing. Take me to the peak of impact. Lift your voice and speak to God right now. And then at the count of three or four, you are going to place your hands and receive the grace, the grace, the grace, the grace, the grace. In the name of Jesus, hands are lifted. With the hands lifted, I'd like to call forward very quickly everyone in need of surrender to Jesus, everyone in need of forgiveness of sins. You want today to mark a new day for you. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. Quickly step forward here, and I'm going to pray for you. That is the beginning of the journey where you can make your mark in your world. And you are watching via the satellite, the internet, and anywhere you are watching, you want to make... You want Jesus to be Lord over your life, and you want today to be a new day. You can also step forward here and let us pray for you. While they are coming, the rest of us lift up your voice and say, Father, like you move Joseph from level to level, move me. From level to level. Like you move David from level to level, move me. Like you move Daniel from level to level, move me, Lord. Open your mouth and speak to God.
Come, let us adore. Take me past the outer court into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowd of people and the praise who sing their praise, Lord. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found one place. So take me to the holy of holies. Take me by the blood
The grace
to move to the next level
of what you have
in store for me.
I receive
that grace
now.
Lift your hands high.
Help out there. Ah, Shabala.
Help me to the Holy of Holies.
Help the man in the middle. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the coal, Mahashaba. Cleanse my lips. Here I am. Receiving a cleansing to qualify you for the next level and for the next lifting. Lift up your hands. Father, I receive that lifting for the next level. The next level of what you have in mind for me. The next level of what you have in mind for me. The next level of what you have in mind for me. The next level of what you have in mind for me. The next level. Lift your hands high. Let the power of God come upon you. At the count of seven, you place your hand on your head and scream, I receive. At the count of seven, Father, let it drop. In the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Receive. In the name of Jesus, help from above, mercy from above.